for their hashtags.
A dissection of pop culture past
with Eric Dallinger
and Carly Anna Billings.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Before There Are Hashtags podcast. I'm just kidding.
Oh my god, that was so scary.
This is not an ASMR video. It's a podcast. And welcome to the Before There Are Hashtags podcast.
Woo.
I am here with Creepy Carly. And my name is Evil Eric. And welcome to Spooktober. Crash, boom, bang, bang. Woo. Lightning, thunder. Because we're too cheap to buy sound effects.
Yeah, absolutely we are. Also, just it's funnier from our mouths to your ears. I think it's funnier.
It's a better bit. It's a better bit.
And we're nothing if not, you know, always driving for the better bit.
Living for the bit.
That's right. That's who we are here on Before There Were Hashtags. So,
we commit
you're
to
welcome.
The bit.
If anything, we like overcommit to the bit. So.
Oh, yeah. Too much. How's your fall going, Carly?
Oh, baby, it's going good. A little too rainy, though, if I might say.
I know,
say.
It's been a rainy fall.
I haven't been able to do any of my, like, fun fall activities I've been hoping to because it keeps freaking raining.
Yeah, it's not wonderful, the weather. No. But I have enjoyed, I did go for a drive to Stratford one day. And it was nice, and I listened to some fall music on
Getting
the way.
The vibes.
I got the vibes.
Love that.
It was great. Yeah, no,
I love it.
It's so much. I do
it's
love
it. It's so
fall.
Good. Yeah, I've been doing the like indoor cozy things and the like admiring the leaves changing from, you know, a car window. So I want to like take a fall walk or like pick some apples and keep.
Go to a pumpkin patch.
Raining.
It's supposed to be nice this weekend, which is past for you listeners. In the past, you let us know. Was it nice?
Oh, please let us know. Let's hope it's nice so we have time to do, you know, all the fall things. Fingers crossed.
Fingers?
Ooh, no, oh. I don't want to talk about the animated. It's so scary.
If you've read the title, you know what the reference to fingers is.
Creepy. Yeah, we have a creepy one today.
A creepy one today.
One that really feels off-putting to me in every way, shape, and form.
It is a little off-putting, but it was a cultural phenomenon.
It's iconic, really.
It really is.
Yeah, so we can't not, you know, cover it during Spooktober because we're doing nothing if not, you know, some spooky, iconic pop culture moments.
Mm-hmm. What are your plans for Thanksgiving, Carly?
Probably just going to hang with the fam. Thanksgiving Day falls on my birthday. Canadian Thanksgiving Day, by the way. We're Canadian
up here.
And so we celebrate Thanksgiving.
Pilgrims who?
Yeah, pilgrims wernst. Yeah, we celebrate this colonial holiday, I guess, in October instead of in November, which is when the American Thanksgiving is.
I wish it was a little bit later, but I also think American Thanksgiving is too late.
American Thanksgiving doesn't make sense to me. Because why do you want something between Halloween and Christmas? I don't.
I'm actually okay with that because I feel like November has nothing.
But November has, like, post-Halloween, pre-Christmas. To me, that's more than enough.
I need something more. I find November to be a depressing month. So I could have Thanksgiving in November, but it's too late. It needs to be earlier in November.
You want the real fall
vibes. I want
vibes.
The real fall vibes. And I don't want it to be mixed up with Christmas.
No, it should be its own thing. That's why I like it in October. One, because it always falls around my birthday or on my birthday or in my birthday week of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it feels like a holiday to celebrate me, which I really enjoy. Everyone just having a day off to celebrate me. But I'd be thankful for me. But I don't know. I like the timing of it because it feels like a pre-Halloween festivity, a time to get cozy with family and friends and, you know, just vibe and enjoy all the fall things without it having to be Halloween theme.
Yes.
Which is kind of fun.
There sometimes is this like mix up of like Halloween and fall.
Mm.
And sometimes I just like, I don't want the spooky. As we're doing a Spooktober.
Spooktober. Well, I think that there's two different aspects of fall. Like, I think fall is a little inherent inherently spooky. Yeah. I don't think it's Halloween-y.
Well, everything's dying, so.
Yeah, and that's kind of the best part about it. That's what, yeah. what makes it smell so good. That's what makes it feel, you know, so mystical, magical.
The decay.
Yeah, we love it. We're big fans. We're very death positive over here.
Death positive.
We really are.
Oh, maybe that's my new pop pick.
Ooh.
Well, I haven't been, maybe in the future. Maybe I'll have to listen to her. There's certain YouTuber who will Ooh. Not be mentioned so that I can mention her maybe next Ooh. Week as Ooh. My pop pick.
Okay, well, we won't spoil it too much, but if you know, you know, I'm sure.
If you know, you know, the death positivity movement.
Has a
It actually is a real thing. We make
totally
jokes,
real
but
thing.
It's a real thing.
But it also, like, has a very real, like, presence.
Yeah.
And one of the people at the forefront of this movement is this very cool person.
This YouTuber that will remain yeah. nameless until next week.
Of course. So if you know, you know.
Because she's going to be my pop pick now.
I love
or
that.
Or next week. But I have to engage with her content a little bit.
Foreshadowing.
But truly, as somebody that yeah. went through a recent death,
Mm-hmm.
having a death plan and knowing what is going to happen, deciding that so you know that the loved one gets what they want out of their
yeah
their final days and post their final days
yeah.
is really important. So death positivity is a true movement and we should be embracing it.
For sure. It's truly the one thing that we know is going to happen to everybody on this earth and in this life. And it's, I don't understand, like, I don't understand not talking about it. I don't understand not prepping for it. I guess it's macabre, but I guess, like, to me that doesn't matter because it's more macabre to think that I didn't fulfill someone's wishes.
Yeah.
To the best of my ability, because I didn't know. That to me is awful, the not knowing. So, I don't know. That's a little tidbit for now. But it makes sense since it's October. We're getting into the, you know, darker topics that we honestly talk about together.
Yeah.
Often. Off mic.
Off mic.
But it's
sometimes
exciting.
On our other podcasts.
Ooh.
The podcast that shall not be named.
Lots of things not being named today, which is very spooky and fun. But yeah, we love fall. We love being death positive. We love... Yeah, the vibes all around, really.
We love Trixie Mattel involved.
That's right. Such
I've been listening
good
to a lot
time.
Of Trixie.
You know, fall is a really good time to be, like, cozy and a little bit country. Like, this is a great, like, Taylor Swift season.
It is.
Though
a great...
every season is a great Taylor Swift season, in my opinion. But, yeah, it's a good season to get cozy and listen to a bunch of cozy music.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, should we get into going back to the way back?
Oh, baby, I think that we have well deserved our trip to the way back today. And so in order to, you know, go back in time to talk about today's topic, dear listeners, we like to take 5 minutes off the top of our show and talk about today's current pop culture events happening around us in order to gas up our time machine so we can go back in time to the way back to talk about our topic of the day.
All right, here we go. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Woo!
Well, Shane Dawson is back on the YouTube.
Oh, that's right. I didn't watch. And I won't be.
You won't be. I'm a bad person and I watch.
Tell us about it. Tell us about it. That's better. No. That's one less person if I don't and you tell me about it. So.
It. You know what? I don't know if I'm going to continue to watch because I was not that entertained. Even on like just an entertainment level,
yeah.
I was sort of disappointed. I guess I've grown out of his sort of like, I can't tell when he starts being serious and then he does his like stupid voice for a second.
Yeah.
And his self-deprecating humor. Maybe I've just grown out of enjoying it.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, we watched that Jeffree Star series that he did.
Yeah,
we were so invested.
I mean, it was really interesting, that series specifically.
Yeah.
Though we also did enjoy their content together and separately, I think.
Yeah.
Relatively before, you know, the shit really hit the fan, let's say.
Yeah.
Because they've always been problematic figures
they've
on
always
and
been.
Off, but...
Well... I think I got into Shane late, so I didn't really know a lot about his problematic past.
Fair,
and then
fair.
Things came up, and I was like, oh.
Yeah. I think that's what happened to a lot of us. Like,
yeah, because he's been on YouTube for 10 years or something
yeah.
like that, so his audience has changed. I just, yeah,
it was called The Haunting of Shane. And he's moved to Colorado. So a lot of it was just about, I think it was just kind of false. It sort of started coming. I'm not talking well. It looked like it was going to be a documentary, like he wasn't going to talk about his own life, like he was going to talk, but the whole thing was about his life. And I think he just needed to really sit down and be serious about sort of the changes, which he was at moments. I want to give him
that,
like,
credit, I
that
guess.
Credit, but
or that mention.
Sometimes he interrupts it by being stupid.
Well, and I think it's a deflection tool he uses a lot in his content, or has in the past, and it's kind of, I guess, upsetting to see that is still happening. For one, things are not funny. Like, you and I are people who deal with, use humor for everything.
Yeah.
It's a totally coping mechanism.
Totally.
But I think there are times and places where humor is not okay. Especially if you're trying to be genuine.
Mm-hmm.
Because it feels false. Like, to me as an audience member, watching somebody who's being serious and automatically, like, does a quick shift, to me, they're using that truth as comedy. So then it you know, negates the truth in it.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't know. I'm not sure if that's what's happening.
How I kind of felt. Yeah. I don't know. It just didn't interest me, but he's back on the internet, so we'll see. We'll see what happens. I would have liked him if he had used his platform for good. He made amends by creating, like, content that was helping the people that he hurt somehow. And not just rich people.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he could start a foundation. Maybe he could have, you know. There's tons of avenues that folks who really are sorry for their past actions have taken. Instead of just being like, I'm just going to go away until, you know. You forget about the bad things I've done. And then I'll just come back. Like, there's something to be said about taking accountability and continuing to do better and do good publicly. Like, there's also a problem of, like, using that for clout, but there's also an importance in that visibility, in that honesty to an audience. I think that, I know people are like, you don't owe your audience anything. That's what we hear a lot from people saying to different creators, especially on the internet. But I think that's not true, because I think we as human beings owe one another, already owe one another the, like, capacity and ability to help take care of one another. Like, to me, that is what being a person is. So for people to be like, you don't know anyone anything, I'm like, that's not true. We're a fucking ecosystem of people, and we all do and should rely on one another. And and these influencers with huge followings are not above that, and they should pull their weight, essentially.
Yeah. Any other pop news that you know of?
Any pop news I know of? I feel like I've been living under a rock
little. Taylor pushed her release of Red.
Yeah.
Basically for Adele's album.
That's true. That's pretty badass.
That's pretty badass.
That's pretty
of Adele.
Badass.
To be like.
Yeah.
I don't think it was like Adele asked her. I think it's just like Taylor was like, oh, we can't put out. I can't put out an album.
No.
On the same week of Adele.
Yeah, she's like, that's not happening for either
of
us.
That's not happening. Yeah.
Well, because also, like,
Taylor,
the queen of fall, but also, and we love Red, possibly her best album, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's it.
Oh no! Just wrap that up real quick. But, like, it makes a lot of sense that Taylor would do that, because Taylor has shown time and time again that she really supports other, you know, women creators and women in the music industry. And also, she knows it's a re-release. So, for her, she's like, if Adele's fucking giving it her all, and she's coming out here, she's like, I'm not getting in that way.
I'm so excited for Adele Dazeem's album.
I can't wait. The wickedly talented.
That could be a whole podcast. Moment. The wickedly talented Adele Dazeem.
Adele Dazeem. Wow. We love John Travolta and Adele Dazeem. But we're talking about something a little spookier today.
A little spookier.
Which freaks me out, but I'm excited.
Today we are talking about the internet phenomenon.
The sensation of the early 2000s, of the early aughts. The one, the only.
Salad fingers. I like rusty spoon.
Ew. I don't like it already. Oh, but in case you don't know, Salad Fingers is a British Flash animation web series that premiered on May 9th, 2004.
Yep. It is so popular that in 2005, the San Francisco Chronicles ranked it among the top 10 pop culture phenomenons of all time.
Which is wild.
That's wild.
Wild. It was created by animator, voice actor, and musician David Firth.
And Christian Webb.
Totally.
So, it is a psychological horror and black comedy.
Yeah. And so the salad fingers first happened as a bit of an in-joke between good friends and collaborators, David Firth and Christian Webb, when one day while playing guitar, Firth's friend, Christian Webb, commented that Firth had salad fingers.
Yeah, I've got a good quote from Firth right here.
Go right ahead.
I was playing on the guitar. My friends called me salad fingers, so we just laughed about it for a while, and then I went off and made salad fingers based off of all that sort of feeling around that time. I didn't expect anything. That's his quote.
Yeah, and apparently he was playing the C chord, too. So I guess, like, yeah. It makes sense, salad, like, it looks weird, like, like, the way that I think about guitar playing is, I don't know if this makes any sense to anybody, but when Phoebe teaches Ross to try to play guitar on Friends.
Bear claw.
Bear claw. No, it's Joey. She tries to teach Joey. Yeah. And she shows him, like, these crazy hand things. Salad fingers.
The best moment of that is when Joey goes, you mean C sharp?
Yeah. She goes, you learned the names? Like, she's so mad at him.
Ah, too good.
Oh, she goes, this one's old lady. Like, that's such a great
old lady hand.
Yeah. It's so good. So salad fingers, I mean, makes sense, I guess. What a good bit. So salad fingers is not only the name of the series, it's the name for its title character.
The pivotal character.
Mm-hmm.
And salad fingers is a thin, green, mentally troubled man who inhabits a desolate world. Most of, like, salad fingers' interactions are with him. He kind of talks to himself. He talks to puppets. Yeah. And
it's so weird.
There are other people that come, and it's sort of unclear what this world is because, okay, so I did a deep dive. Basically, I'm stealing here.
Okay, but can I, before we do a deep dive, describe what this man looks like besides tall and green? So he's a bald, hunchbacked humanoid with light green skin. No nose or ears, which I think is important to mention because he looks pretty weird. Mm-hmm. And he speaks in a distorted Northern English accent. And his long and strangely shaped fingers are his most prominent feature. It takes up like half his body and is for what he's named.
Yes. And there have been a total of 12 episodes. So basically, people thought it ended after episode 10.
Mm.
So the first one came out in 2004, and they slowly came out. They sort of, the first five or so all came out in like 2004.
Right.
And then episode 6 comes out in 2005, 7, 2006. So then they slow down, 8, 2007, 9 comes out in 2011. So there's a like a 5-year gap. Between 8 and 9. Yeah. And then 10 comes out in 2013, so a 2-year gap. People thought it ended around 10. So in 2013, people believed it ended on November 24th. But then January 30th, 2019, episode 11, Glass Brother, was released.
Right.
So it's not as before there were hashtags as we thought.
Yeah, it just started before there were hashtags.
And interestingly enough, a week ago, episode 12 was released.
That's right.
We showed Carly's mother episode 12. She was not into it.
Not that she was scared of it. Not that she laughed. She just literally said, What is this supposed to be?
We were like, it's so creepy, Rena.
We were like, it's weird.
Rena, it's so creepy. And she was like, no, it's not.
She's like, this isn't anything.
It's just dumb.
Yeah, she's like, it's just dumb. Thanks, Mom.
And then we sang I'm Shy.
That's right. And she liked that.
She did like that.
She thought that was great. she's into the Carol Burnett comedy. She's not really into the, you know, salad fingers dark comedy.
So on his character, Firth writes, he's a nice guy. I don't think he ever actually kills on purpose. There's lots of evidence that he may have done that, though. Then he writes, he's like a cat. A cat kills mercilessly outside, but you still bring him in and cuddle him. It's the same as Salad Fingers. He's just a bit of an animal.
Yeah, so this weird animal lives in a desolate, like you mentioned, unnamed land of the UK, which is inhabited by mutant creatures.
Yeah.
His home is a small shack in the middle of nowhere, and he frequently refers to the Great War, which is weird.
Well, okay, so I'm going to get into the breakdown.
Okay, here. Let's talk about the breakdown.
Well, so I stole a lot of my information from The Film Theorist, or MatPat, or Film Theory, which is a great YouTube channel. Go check it out. It's also, there's also Game Theory. Game Theory is his original channel, and right. Then Film Theory, or it's actually The Game Theorist and Film Theorist, but he's called, but he does Film Theories on it. So answering the where. It is set, it looks like, a post-apocalyptic England, because in the story he references Croxley Heath and Cowanbreath, which are both
places in
England.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is we don't actually believe it's set in modern times, because he references the Great War, which... Mm-hmm. Up until World War II, World War I was called the Great War.
Yeah, because it was the Great War of that generation.
So we know that it takes place roughly before World War II, but after World War I. We also know this because he references Horace Horsecollar, which is a character, an early kind of prototype Pluto from Disney, which he came out in 1929. He also sings Somewhere Over the Rainbow, which came out in 1939. So we know that
sort that's of, kind of the 30s, the 40s. Mm-hmm. That's like the late 20s, the late 30s.
So film,
that's when we are.
Film Theorist sort of estimates that it came out in that, sorry, it takes place in 1939.
Okay.
Now, not everything is what it seems, because
totally.
In Film Theory, they decide that this is probably all in Salad Fingers' head. That it's not actually a dystopian world. Mm-hmm. That, in fact, Salad Fingers has dissociative personality disorder, or as many people would call it, like, multiple personality disorder.
I believe it's called now a dissociative identity disorder.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
thank you.
Totally. No, it's the same, like, same thing, but that's, like, the clinical... I believe, diagnosis.
We know that there is a regular world, because if you look in the background, there's sometimes paintings in Salad Fingers' house, and they're all of normal people and normal settings.
Oh, it's so not, it's not his, like, people or
it's
weirdness.
Not, yeah, it's not.
There's no Salad Fingers.
And you can tell who are real people versus who are sort of figments of his imagination, because the real people all have real eyes. And all the... like, kind of strange people all have button eyes. Like, they're all puppets.
Right.
Yeah. At one point, Salad Fingers... Salad Fingers has three finger puppets.
Yes, he does.
And these are all different personalities that live within Salad Fingers.
Yeah.
So, the belief is that the true personality is Herbert Cumberdale...
Great name. Great name, by the way. We're a big fan.
There's also Jeremy.
Yeah.
And I forgot the...
Apparently he doesn't hang out much. So he, they didn't see him very much.
Well, here's...
From my understanding.
Okay. So, I'm sort of jumping all over the place. Let me start with his brother, Kenneth.
Okay.
So, at one point, he claims that Herbert Cumberdale uncovered... his brother, Kenneth, who is actually a corpse.
Right, yes.
In the ground. Now, and he tells Kenneth to return to the trenches and gets mad at Kenneth for going off to the Great War without him.
Mm.
Now, the belief is this is a fake history that Salad Fingers has made up for his brother that died at childbirth.
Oh, so he is like being like, you went off to the Great War, but really his brother died. His brother had already died.
And there's this tree outside of Sally Fingers' shack. Mm-hmm. And the tree at one point in a sort of vision goes, it's cold out here, Daddy. And then Salad Fingers gives birth. There's a lot of baby references in Salad Fingers.
Yeah.
So the thought is that underneath the tree is buried Salad Fingers' dead baby brother that never left. And Salad Fingers, in his mental state, has created this fake life for his brother Kenneth that has gone away to war. Because he doesn't seem to understand that Kenneth goes back to the trenches, and yet Kenneth is a sailor. So he would never have been in the trenches.
So there's a lot of, like, yeah, that's true. Because throughout Sally Fingers, there's a lot of, like, conflicting
information. He forgets his character's name sometimes and makes up new ones.
Yeah, that's very true.
In the same episode.
Yeah.
And he struggles. They show him struggling to remember the name.
Totally.
Okay, so that's his brother. That's sort of, like, a weird one. At one point, there is two conversations that happen through Salad Fingers, and if you put the two sides of the conversation that happen in different parts of the episode, it creates one conversation. And it's believed that this conversation is between an angry father and his finger puppet Jeremy. At one point, Jeremy gives Salad Fingers a horse, which is like a toy horse, which of course where the horse collar comes from.
Gotcha.
And this is actually a reference to Jeremy getting a girl pregnant. And the conversation is between Jeremy and the girl's father. Because he goes, I see you're home from the Great War. So later on, when Sally Fingers goes to the doctor, he's all kind of feminine. And when the doctor checks him out, but all of a sudden he switches. And the doctor then violently attacks the horse and like digs into him with blood and stuff, and that is in reference to the girl giving birth and cesarean section.
Okay,
so the thought is that Jeremy is Salad Fingers' father.
Okay,
and the baby that is given birth is Salad Fingers, who is Herbert Cumberdale. Fingers is Herbert Cumberdale.
Okay, yeah, because that, I did hear that, like, one of the theories is that is his true
identity.
Or, like, core identity.
Yes.
Yeah.
Later in Force, in episode 11, which is a new one, at one point, Salad Fingers holds up a mirror to Herbert Cumberdale, the puppet, and in through the reflection is Salad Fingers.
Oh.
But it turns out that it's not Salad Fingers, it's actually Glass Brother, but that's a whole other thing.
But that's the name of the episode.
That's the whole,
That's the whole thing.
That's the whole thing
of it, yeah.
And that Glass Brother is just Salad Fingers' negative self-talk in his own brain.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Also, it's that the story is actually about Jeremy, who is a black man who has a son with a white woman. And so at one point, Salad Fingers throws Herbert Cumberdale off the bed and says something like, you dirty immigrant, trigger warning, sorry. Okay. That it's about how Salad Fingers was abused by his white family for being an interracial child.
Okay.
Is this making sense?
No, it's making sense. There's just a lot to unpack.
Well,
because people have done a lot of like watching and speculating and guessing and research. There's a lot to it. Something else I heard too, which maybe it doesn't have as much legs to stand on as your good research, Eric, is that the finger puppets are also maybe people from his past. Because also some folks think that he suffers from a variety of mental disorders.
Oh, for sure.
Like schizophrenia, depression, and dissociative identity disorder. Because he acts out these different personalities, like you said.
Yeah.
And a lot of times people think a lot of them, and I think it is explained, a lot of them are hallucinations as well.
He's also abandoned. Sorry, in my theory, he's abandoned by his father, Jeremy, because at one point, this sort of little boy starts following Salad Fingers around. If you look at what the little boy looks like, he looks like a fetus.
Oh.
And it's supposed to represent how Jeremy was not into the idea of himself being a father, and he abandoned Salad Fingers as a baby.
Okay.
At one point, the little fetus boy trapped Salad Fingers in a cage in the episode Cage.
So the fetus boy is baby Salad Fingers.
Yeah,
that Jeremy didn't want.
That Jeremy didn't
like
want.
That, like, at that point was when Jeremy left baby Salad Fingers. Mm-hmm.
And Jeremy goes off at the end of the episode speaking French, showing that he ran away to France.
Right. Okay, also, Salad Fingers speaks French, and he knows Morse code.
He knows, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, which proves that he was also probably a soldier in the war. Or he is, his personality of Jeremy was a soldier in the war, so he knows French.
Yeah.
But he also can't read or write. So Herbert Cumberdale never, because he was abused by his family, was never educated, so he never learned to read or write.
Right. Okay, yeah, there's so much.
There's so much.
Also, so Salad Fingers, Salad Fingers, also is often described as polite but immature.
Yes.
And childlike. And apparently, not apparently, he also just has little comprehension of, like, reality, because he often converses with not just people and things, but inanimate objects, including puppets, including...
And trees.
Trees, like, literally anything. He's ready to talk, and sometimes he'll talk back as them, mm-hmm. right? So, it's just a lot.
Oh, there's also an episode in which, when he talks to the tree and the tree wraps him up, the next scene he gives birth to, like, a pile of wet rags. And the baby, I'm saying air quotes,
yeah, starts baby,
killing him throughout the whole episode. Like, he gets sicker and sicker and sicker.
Oh, that's
which is
right.
Supposed to be in reference to the fact that his mother probably died in childbirth and couldn't sustain.
And just got sicker and sicker.
Got sicker and sicker and sicker while pregnant with him.
Okay.
And that's another reason why the family doesn't like him, because he's... Right.
He's the reason his supposedly white mother.
His wife has died.
Okay.
Yeah, the thing is it's all about, like, puzzle pieces that are out of order, and you're putting them together through it, because it's not a linear plot line.
No, it's not at all. Also, for a long time people were like, he's a zombie. He's not a zombie. Mm. The creators have come out and said he's not a zombie. And they're like, oh, okay, great. Thank you for clarifying, because he's green, right? And it's weird. They're like, he's a zombie. And they were like, no, he's not. Apparently, Salad Fingers' voice, this is just a technical thing, was inspired by Firth's grandmother and Michael Jackson's speaking voice.
Oh, that doesn't surprise
me. Which makes so much sense. Because he sounds like an elderly woman and also creepy Michael Jackson talking voice.
Oh, another,
But British and weird. Yeah.
Back to my theory.
I love
Sorry.
It. Bring us back to your theories.
Also, like, once again, you can go watch the YouTube video, and it shows the clips.
Is it a series, or is it just one?
It's
video?
Two videos. Okay. Well, there's three, because then he does Glass Brother, because Glass Brother came out 6 years later. So it was like, oh, like, we have a new one. We have a new episode. Does it fit into the whole Salad Fingers theory? And goes, yes, it does.
Okay.
I don't find the new one
as good.
It's not that it doesn't fit. It just doesn't have any greater meaning, I think, to...
Sure, beyond the what...
Beyond what happens.
Talked about.
The weird head that pops up from the ground with the eyes that come out that we just watched.
Yes, so weird. Very, like, Beetlejuice feeling.
Yeah. So in episode 10, at the beginning of episode 10, he says it's Herbert's birthday, but at the end of the episode, it's Salad Fingers' birthday.
Oh, so people are like, ew, it's the same guy.
They're the same person. The same he is Herbert.
They're one and the same.
Herbert Cumberdale is Salad Fingers.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, interesting fact about those videos.
Yeah.
Apparently the creator of Salad Fingers, David Firth, doesn't like them. He doesn't like fans overanalyzing
Salad Fingers. I have the quote right here.
Do it.
So, yeah, I was going to say, basically, all this can be negated because the creator has said there is no deeper meaning to Salad Fingers.
Than just what's happening, yeah.
I think because we had Monty Python, Chris Morris, Reeves, and Mortimer, and other things, that we have a lot of weirdness that's not explained. We're just used to weird stuff that isn't explained, and it doesn't need to be explained. It's a joke, which is in reference to the fact that... like, British humor and British media tends to be a little bit more abstract, a little bit more obscure, a little bit more absurdist.
They're just doing a bit and everyone just buys into it and doesn't look for more. Whereas, like, I think, like, American audiences, Canadian audiences love an Easter egg, love searching for more meaning than there is.
Taylor Swift, like, fans, we are looking for the Look What You Made Me Do music video and trying to place, the dollar bill is in reference to Kim Kardashian getting robbed.
The snake, she was called a snake. Like, so much of it.
She holds a Grammy but is dressed like Katy Perry to prove to Katy Perry that she's better than her. We could do a whole deep dive on this music video as well.
Maybe we should.
But also, we see this in American culture. Like, we have, like, the Avengers Endgame. Like, everything has to be connected. It all has to.
And there's more to what we think there is. Like, people dedicate their whole time and lives to adding and uncovering meaning from things. So it's very, like, when you're in high school and you're in an English class and the teacher's like, yes, Charles Dickens used so many words because he's so eloquent. And it's like, girl, no, it's because he was paid by the fucking word. Like, this man was paid by the word. It's not because he's, like, cares about the detail so much so that he, like, you know. Or, like, yes, the curtains are blue because of their melancholy. No, they're just blue. They're just blue because they're trying to describe a scene. Like, yeah.
Yeah. He also said, the idea was never, there will be a story, he puts in quotes.
Right.
It was always just, we've got these weird characters, and he's probably in a weird house.
He's probably just being weird.
He's just a weirdo.
I love that so much. I love, who doesn't love, you know, finding a deeper meaning, looking for deeper meaning? Mm-hmm. But I love almost more weirdness for being weirdness's sake.
Here's another quote. I feel like Americans struggle with that because they need things to be explained. So they start theories. There's all these deep conspiracy theories about salad fingers, which he doesn't vibe with them.
Yeah. I think that's so funny. But yeah, like you said, there's 12 episodes, which are on YouTube and Newgrounds, which is the media company.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much of it. It makes a lot of sense, though, why David Firth feels this way, because a lot of his inspirations are people like David Lynch. And he really likes South Park and Tim Burton and British comedy horror The League of Gentlemen and satirist Chris Morris, as you mentioned. So a lot of, like, it makes a lot of sense that he's just like, it's just weird to be weird.
Now, can I be a little bit of a skeptic here?
Yeah.
Maybe he's just a huge troll. Like, maybe he's like, there really is a deeper story to this, but I'm not going to tell you that there is because I want to throw you off the scent.
Yeah.
Because the whole, I think he's kind of a troll in, like, a fun, like, way. Like,
he's got, like, the long con.
Yeah, it's like a long con.
Well, I mean, it's premiered in 2014 and the most recent episode.
You mean 2004?
What did I say? 2014. It's okay. 2014 minus 10. It's okay.
As I was pointed out on my last podcast, I called Christopher Walking the whole time.
Christopher Walking. Who cares? He's walking here.
Thanks, Luke. There's your shout out.
He's walking here. Leave him alone. Yeah. So 2014 minus 10, so 2004. It's something that started in 2004 and continued through and has been released as late as 2019.
A week ago.
A week, 2021. Well, yeah. That's right. Well, because the
episode 12 came out a week ago. It's crazy.
Well, because, okay, let me retake that. Yeah, let me retake that because I also wrote down that there's a Salad Fingers tour this year.
Yeah.
It was meant to happen last year, but it started August 8th, 2021, and a screening of every episode so far is what this tour is, with Firth doing Q&As along the way.
Yeah.
Like, you're right. Like, I guess the long con is a possibility since, it was like 2015 to 2019 to literally last week.
Yeah.
So
I love that it came out. We decided to do this before last week.
I know. We decided to do this like 2 months ago.
Yeah. And now it's like,
it's new.
It's still ongoing.
I know. It's honestly, that's pretty funny. Both of our Spooktober episodes are both ongoing.
Yeah.
Like, they're before there were hashtags. Like,
but during,
but
hashtag.
Also during a current, that's so weird and neat. But it's, yeah, I don't know. Salad Fingers, personally, how I feel about it, it sure, like, I think people feel either really freaked out by it or they really think it's funny as hell. And to me, I remember when I first watched it, I was like, this is not for me.
Yeah.
And I haven't gone back. Though maybe now with my, like all of his people that he said are his inspirations, I'm like, I could vibe with that. Like, I do vibe with most of that.
Well, he wrote, "I'm not a dark person. I just find it interesting. I find it funny." That's his quote. So
literally me, ghosts are everywhere. Carly Billings. Like, yeah. That's me. So maybe now I could vibe with it. I just can't get past the, like, Rusty Spoon. And I'd say that's the most famous Salad Fingers is the first episode, Spoons.
Yeah, it has 40 million views on YouTube.
Right. Back when that didn't happen.
Back when that didn't happen, yeah.
Like, that's 2004.
And now you can just, now he's uploaded every video to date as, like, one continuous, like, right. 1 hour.
Yeah.
I think it only goes up to 10. It's the first 10.
Okay. Well, they're shorts, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. But, yeah, so I just, Rusty Spoon.
Yeah.
And I think the whole, like, him, like, rubbing them together, pleasure from that, made me stressed. And I was like, no, that's
not
for me.
Have you seen the episode where he writes and he pulls back his fingertip to write with his fingertips? Yeah.
Yeah, I
have seen that. It's so gross.
But see, that to me makes me laugh a little. I'm like, that's kind of a good bit. It's terrifying.
Oh.
But it's kind of a good bit.
Back to my theory. At the end, he gives Herbert Cumberdale a hat, and then at the end of the episode, a hat made out of a corpse that he's recently killed in a previous episode comes down from the sky, and it's the same top hat that Herbert Cumberdale wears once again, suggesting that he is Herbert Cumberdale. Jeremy is his father, and his mother died in childbirth.
What? Honestly, I'm not into the whole, like, conspiracy theories of things. We love conspiracy theories on this podcast.
Who is Kenneth? Is Kenneth really his brother? I'm poking holes in my own theories. By my theory, I mean one that I have stolen.
You mean theories around the internet for ours and your perusal. Yeah. I don't know. I wish I could. I think it's something that I wish, like, I could get into more, but it freaks me out. It's off-putting to me.
It's not
that it's scary. It's not that it's, like, really funny. It's just off-putting.
I'm simultaneously intrigued and terrified of it all at the same time. I haven't watched every episode.
No, I mean, I've watched maybe like two.
I watched the most recent one, and I have seen a few in the time, and I've seen, and I watched the film theory, which goes through all the episodes. So I feel like I've seen all of it, but I can't watch all of it because
it's the style that just
it's the sound me. It's the soundscape
voice, the whole thing that makes me go ooh, it gives me the willies, like, it's the also body the, willies
the crude flash animation.
yeah
isn't it crazy though? Like, he basically now has to fake flash animation because it's not
flash
available
is too good.
Well, it's not available anymore. Isn't Flash not available?
That's right.
Yeah, so now he has to fake looking like Flash.
Yeah, he has to, like, use good animation software to try and make it look shit so that it looks like Flash.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot. R.I.P. Flash.
He's also not a pro animator at all. Like, his parents were art teachers.
Yeah.
But he has no, like, formal training in animation.
No, the reason he does animation is because of this, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he makes most of his money now off of Patreon.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Who doesn't, really?
Because YouTube money isn't good enough anymore. YouTube money is really hard now.
YouTube money, the only way people make money off YouTube is not AdSense. It's because they have sponsorships or, like, things like that. Not because they're making money from the videos that they're putting out. Which makes no sense, but
I love his comparison to him being a cat.
Like, I am obsessed with that. Yeah,
like, because it's true. Cats will bring in mice.
Cats
are killing machines.
They're unwell. Like, they're gonna hunt. They hunt. That's what they do.
But they're also very sweet. But they'll cuddle you.
And you just want to pet them, and you love them, and you give them a kiss on the head, and you feed them, and you're like, great.
That is a disturbing scene when a little boy walks into an oven and he turns on the oven.
Yeah. That sounds pretty. It's very Hansel and Gretel.
It's very Hansel and
Except
Gretel.
Except reversed, because it's a child instead of the old lady witch.
Yeah.
Who I feel bad for, but also, who doesn't want a house of candy?
Who doesn't?
And these little kids come along and murder her. That's fucked up.
Come on, witches, let's get cooking!
Ooh! I love it. No, but yeah, Salad Fingers is so I guess either yes or no, multi-layered, but definitely it's weird and definitely it's...
I think it's a long con. I still...
You think it's a long con? You're going to put your money on long con?
But maybe I'm one of those Americans or North Americans in this case. Yeah, I love a theory. I want it to all to be connected. I want it to mean something. I want it to be about a child that was abandoned by his father and a dead mother and has a dead brother that was buried under a tree and was racially abused by his parents. I think that makes it more interesting to me.
The more dynamic. Yeah.
There, I summed up the theory really fast.
That was like 10 seconds long. I'm proud of you. So my question to you then is, do you think it started off as a long con or after its first success, it became a long con?
I think it became a long con because basically the first 5 episodes, really nothing happened. So it's more like the 12th episode that just came out, where it's just like a vignette. And then I think it starts to drop the Easter eggs around episode 6.
Okay. So you think it was something that grew out of nothing. Of this like weird thing that was a weird thing and then morphed into, we could add some meaning to it.
Well, Rusty Spoons doesn't mean anything.
Rusty Spoons is terrifying.
It's just
Rusty Spoons. Also, Rusty Spoons? I don't want to think about Rusty Spoons in any way, shape, or form. No.
I'm enjoying the thought right now.
No, you're not. Ew.
Rusty
Spoons. No, I hate it.
Rust sexual.
Yuck.
No king shaming.
No king shaming,
I'm
but I will shame you for that. No, I'm kidding.
We've mentioned kink in 2 episodes so far. Spooktober is just...
Spooktober's bringing it out.
Bringing out the kink. Hope none of my students listen to this.
Nobody listened to this. Nobody listened to this.
Everybody listened to this.
No, none of your students listen to this, period.
Hopefully not.
I'm manifesting that for you.
Yeah, but by saying, in Law of Attraction, by saying I hope my students aren't listening to it, it's a negative thought, which means they will.
Yeah. Your students listen to everything but this.
I don't know if that works. Law of Attraction, so crazy but so awesome. I do believe. Sorry, now we're getting really off topic.
I mean, it's kind of witchy. Law of Attraction is definitely witchy and kind of spooky.
The Secret. All right, well, does that bring us back to, well, there is an episode 12, so
there's
that came out a week
12.
ago.
There's so much to this. This is ongoing. It might, you know, we might be back with a
an update
at some point. Like, maybe he'll come out and tell us it's a long con.
You know what the film theorist did?
What?
He dropped one episode a week before Halloween 4-5 years ago, and then the part 2 didn't come out for a whole other year.
Ooh, wait, making people wait.
He made people wait, and then 2 years later he put out the one on Glass Brother. But that makes sense because it just had
it
come
was
out
recent. Yeah.
All right. Well, that brings us back.
I mean, literally, we're talking about current day Glass Brother. So.
Glass Brother.
Great title. Also, a lot of these are so fun and weird.
So weird. And there's Glass Mother in Glass Brother. When basically he defeats Glass Brother, Glass Mother shows up to put him down even more.
Whoa.
And that's like the manifestation of his grandmother. Put him down.
Oh, no.
Racist Too grandmother, because we all know, we all have races.
Yeah, I mean, the famous
grandparents.
I mean, the famous Avenue Q. Everyone's a little racist sometimes. Would beg to say that. Of course, that also means grandparents. Yeah.
All right. Well, Carly.
Well, Eric.
As we wrap this up, do you have any pop picks?
You know what? I do. I had too many pop picks this week, which is something that it never happens to me. So I, instead of 3, I'm gonna save one for next week, and I'm gonna do 2 today. I couldn't pick. So we talked a little bit about dissociative identity disorder. And interestingly enough, I just watched a 4-part Netflix special called Monsters Inside: The 24 Faces of Billy Milligan.
Whoa.
And it's a true crime series. It's around this gentleman, Billy Milligan, who famously, possibly... had 24 personalities, separate personalities, identities, and kind of all of the violence that came out of it, kind of all of his treatment. He was a serial killer, and also people were like, does he really have this thing, or is he just saying it because he's a serial killer, you know? So it's very, pretty interesting series, four parts. And I thought it shed a little bit of light into the idea of dissociative identity disorder.
Nice.
But above that, I'm going to give a shout out to the one, the only, David Lynch.
Ooh.
Who I love. And Twin Peaks.
Nice. Obviously.
It's such a great show. If you haven't seen it, I'm not necessarily talking about the reboot of it because I haven't watched the whole reboot. I'm bad. I fell off the wagon halfway through. That's my fault because I just got bored trying to find how to stream it. But I love Twin Peaks. It's a classic. It's so 90s. It's beautiful. It's freaky. It's weird. And it's one of those things that people look for meaning in. And David Lynch is just weird and David Lynchy. And some of it has meaning and some of it doesn't. And
who knows? It could be a long con.
Who knows? It could be the long con. There's been a movie. There's been, you know, series, episodes, like, there's been seasons. There's been a reboot. Some of it David Lynch was a part of. Some of it he wasn't. He's back. All this stuff. But Twin Peaks, who doesn't love Kyle MacLachlan? He's adorable. He loves donuts. He plays Agent Cooper, FBI. He's so cute in this little town. And it's great. And I just love it. It's spooky. It's weird.
Spooky-ooky.
Yeah. It's all the best things. Twin Peaks.
Awesome. Yeah,
that's my pick. Eric, my pal, my bestie, my guy, what is your pop pick of the week?
Well, I'm going to do a little self-plug, but not really because I don't benefit from any of this.
Ooh.
I have created a playlist on Apple Music called Fall Life Autumn Vibes.
I saw that on your Instagram story.
So I am going to plug my own playlist that you can find if you have Apple Music. I will link it in our bio.
Perfect. Yeah, I'll put it in our link tree.
So if you want to listen to my fall picks, I have such hits as Video Games by Trixie Mattel.
Oh, we love it.
Dorothea by Taylor Swift.
Oh.
I also have some songs by some friends. I have Red Dirt Road by Jessica Gallant.
Ooh.
I have Waves by Alicia Toner on there.
Love it.
I have my good friend Evan Taylor Benyakar. He's on there with the song Doing Fine.
Nice.
But, you know, I've also tried to diversify fall because I think it's easy to make fall kind of white indie music. So, you know,
yeah, for sure.
I've got a little bit of, I did put some BTS on there with their song Black Swan.
Love it.
Or Anne Rose with their song Gone. So some K-pop in there. I have a little bit of rap, on there as well.
Did I just see Fast Card on there?
Yeah, Fast Card. I even put Landler from The Sound of Music because I just think it gives fall vibes.
It's totally vibey.
Yeah. Oh, I have the song Paper Doll by my good friend Celine Tsai. So lots of different music. Some of it is like close to my heart because it's good friends that have created it, and others is just like famous singers. Like I've got some Demi Lovato, I've got some Taylor
Love
Swift,
it.
Trixie Mattel,
Vibe.
Regina Spektor.
Oh, yeah, Regina's great for this season.
Yeah, got even a little bit of Blackpink on there, but it's more of their... Oh, the acoustic version of Whistle by Blackpink.
You have Wait For Me from Hadestown. Yes!
Yeah, I got some musical theater.
Wait For Me, I come in. It's so good.
Skinny Love, Birdie, Paper Love Lions, it. A good East Coast band.
Nice. Oh, you got Vance Joy, got Riptide on there. I see you.
Yeah.
Love it.
So take a listen. I'll link it in the link tree.
Ooh.
So yeah, just some fall vibes. It's what I listened to on my way to Stratford a few days ago. And it was so beautiful to see all the beautiful trees and changing as I listened to
all the vibes.
I suggest listening to it on Shuffle because it is a 5-hour playlist, so you're never gonna get through it all,
which is amazing.
So if you want to listen to songs that are closer to the end, I'd say just put it on Shuffle. I didn't order them in any particular way, with the exception of the first song is Autumn Comes Too Soon, which couldn't be farther from the truth because it could always be autumn.
This autumn song I've been obsessed with recently is a Billie Holiday song, Autumn in New York. I mean, it's a jazz standard, but I'm obsessed with her version, and I just want to listen to it on repeat. So I love that you made this playlist, because now I have something else that I really want to listen to instead of just Autumn in New York.
Are you a Spotify or a Apple Music?
So I'm a flip-flop gal. I've done a bit of both. I'm currently a Spotify gal.
Oh,
I know.
But you can still look at the playlist and then pick songs that you want to listen
or
to.
Or maybe I could recreate it on Spotify.
If you are willing Spotify to do friends. That, I would... It would be great for our Spotify friends.
Yeah. I might just do that. So, you know what? I will commit to doing that. I will do that.
Are you sure? Because that's a huge commitment.
You should look them up.
Okay.
Yeah. I might be up by the time of this episode. If not, check back next week. But it'll be up.
Yeah. So, if you have a fall walk or a fall drive, take a listen, you know?
Yes.
It's also good. Give some plays to some smaller indie artists. Not smaller, because I think... Smaller in popularity because they're just not as well known.
Totally.
But not in artistic achievement because, oh my goodness, Alicia Toner's voice.
Incredible.
Yeah. Incredible.
Absolutely, utterly incredible. Period.
Well, I think that brings us to the end, unless there's anything else that we want to briefly talk about.
Let's see.
Haunt or not?
This is a wrong podcast for haunt or not.
What? But it's Spooktober.
Well, if you want to plug Haunt or Not, feel free.
Well, this Haunt or Not is on Ghosts Are Everywhere, and I guested on for the second time on that podcast.
Yeah, you sure did.
I am the first person, I think, to guest twice.
One of.
Bill. I'm not happy. In the great words of Regina George. Boo you whore.
That's me. Spooky content. Boo you whore. Boo, like a ghost.
Boo.
No, you were so much fun to have on that podcast once again. The episode's called Haunt or Not, which is why we're saying it.
Or Not.
And it's a new segment we've come up with over on Ghosts Are Everywhere that we came up with Eric on this very couch where we're sitting right now, actually, in my parents' basement, that we came up with for guests and for that show. It's a such a funny segment, and now it was the title because it was too
so
good
funny
not to. So funny. So if you're into that, go check that out. More Eric content, more spooky Eric content.
Salad fingers, Haunt or Not.
Oh, not. I don't want those fingers anywhere near me at all.
Rusty Carly.
And Haunt or Not is essentially Hot or Not for ghosts. It's all technically called Ghost with the Most.
Ghost with the Most Haunt or Not edition.
And Eric, South Fingers, Haunt or Not.
I kind of think it's a haunt.
No!
It's creepy, but it's like, obviously, it's engaging. 40 million views doesn't lie.
I guess. I can't.
Carly can't.
For me. It's a not for me.
How much can't can a white girl can if a white girl just can't even?
How much not could a haunt not if a not could not haunt? Not! That was nonsense. Which we love because, Eric, not everything has to have a deeper meaning.
Does it?
Apparently, according to David Firth and also myself, which I think I agree with.
I like deeper meanings.
I like a mix of both. I'm a Libra. I like it both ways, baby. Bit of each.
You like to get the best of both worlds?
You might just call me
Miley
Hannah Montana.
Oh.
Because I
like the best of both worlds. Chillin'. She'll take it slow and then she'll rock out the show.
Yeah. I love both of those things. And I like to do them always.
All right. Well, we've rambled enough.
We've rambled. We've rumbled. We've roved all around. It's our time to go. Thank you for joining us once again for another jolly good episode
of the Before There Were Hashtags podcast.
Spooktober edition.
And don't forget to feel the rusty spoons.
Ew! Ew! No! Ew!
Goodbye.
Ew. Bye! Ew.
Goodbye.
Ew!
I want to be the last word! I am the last word. Goodbye, Rusty Spittle.
I hate it.